talk about the next point that he himself, he is the one behind, he's the mastermind behind this Quran.
All right, so some people, okay, so we have established the fact that the Quran cannot have been copied from the Bible, or else the Quran would have incorporated those same, you know, quote-unquote mistakes that are present in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But how come the Quran left off those mistakes and only extracted the authentic things, right?
Yeah.
Unless it has to be coming from the Creator.
Indeed.
Indeed, right? So now, some people claim that it was Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who was the author of the Quran. And now it's very important. First of all, he was a person who was did not know how to read and write. On the top of it, he was given the title of As-Siddiq and Al-Amin, the most honored and the most truthful person, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Not just by the Muslims, but also by the non-Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
So the most honest, the best role model person in that community is claiming that this book is from God. Why would he be lying? A person lies, a false prophet, he or she lies because of some ulterior gains for name and fame and money and, you know, power and all of those things.
Did he have a hidden bank account? Did he have? Is it recorded that he had all, you know, lived a lavish lifestyle? That he had these worldly things that might have to support these accusations?
Well, actually, you know, non-Muslims, since they did not like the message of the oneness of God,
yeah.
right? They wanted to worship all of those idols. They offered him, they bribed him actually,
mm-hmm.
that if you give up preaching the oneness of God, we'll give you the best, the most wealth, we'll make you the richest of the person.
Yeah.
If you desire that, we'll give you that. Or if you want, if you're seeking after power, we'll make you the head of the state of all of the Arab region.
Yeah.
Or we'll give you the best women, the best girls for you to marry.
Yeah.
But guess what? A false prophet would have taken up the offer, right? Become the head of the state and whatever. But Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, since he was a true prophet, he rejected that offer. And he said, I'm not going to take that offer, even if they bring the sun and the moon in my right and my left hand. So the life that he led, you know, Brother Eddie, was a life of very modest, very humble life. His house was smaller than this studio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had only like maybe just a one or two items in his house. And there are narrations by his wives that sometimes there was nothing for them to eat for 3 days and three nights. All they had to do eat was, you know, just some dates and some water. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was much more richer, okay, before he claimed prophethood than after he claimed prophethood.
Yeah.
What could have been the motive for that?
Yeah, it's amazing. Is there anything in the Quran now, if someone is saying that, look, he's the mastermind behind this, obviously someone's going to want to elevate himself. Someone's going to want to put themselves in the spotlight. Is there anything in this verbatim word of God now that would support this? Is there the calamity that struck him in his own personal life with his wife mm-hmm. dying or any of these other personal situations? Are they mentioned in there?
Well, that's a very important point, by the way. See, the Quran has 6,000 plus verses. It
yeah.
speaks about, you know, many individuals, many prophets and all of that. It speaks about some of the common people.
Mm-hmm.
Many tragedies struck Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, right? His wife, the most beloved wife, Khadija,
yeah.
Allah's peace be upon her, she passed away, right?
Is that
not mentioned in there? Not a mention about that. But what is mentioned is about the mother of Jesus, peace be upon her.
Mm.
Okay? So, if Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, if he used to love his wife and his daughters and his children so much, and he had so many tragedies in his life, how come none of those things are mentioned in there?
It's not mentioned in there, huh?
Yeah, if he were, you know, God forbid, a false prophet, he would have mentioned and elevated and honored and praised his family. He did not do it.
He didn't do it.
He didn't do it. And he did not praise himself.
So much to cover, so little time. The next possibility that some skeptics might bring up is that he got this from his visiting with others in different tribes, other Jews and Christians, people from the Greeks, from other methodologies. What do we got to say about this?
All right. There were some Jews and some Christians, okay? Not that many, by the way. Some scattered
yeah.
around the Middle Eastern region, okay? The three important ones that he had interaction with were Waraka, okay? Waraka was the uncle of the first wife of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Her name was Khadija.
Yeah.
Okay? Peace be upon her. Now, he was a Christian. Varaha was a Christian. So when the initial revelation came, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he went to Varaha and he, you know, had some interaction with him. Varaha confirmed that you are a prophet and that you, that your people are going to reject you just the way that they have rejected other people, right?
Now this Varaha that you're saying, for some people who are hearing this name for the first time, can you kind of give more of a, who was this person?
Yeah, this person used to be a pagan. He converted to Christianity, right? So he knew who prophet, what is prophethood. He knew what revelation is, and he knew the prophecies.
He knew the criteria to match to be a prophet.
Yeah, not only that, he knew the prophecies mentioned in the Old and the New Testament about the coming of a prophet.
Okay.
Yeah, that could be a different show, but there are prophecies in the New and the Old Testament about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So, after a few days, after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was appointed as a prophet, Varaha, he passed away.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, Varaha was not alive when the bulk of the Quran was revealed and written down. So how can he have been an author of the Quran?
How about Greek writings or these other ancient...
Sure. So some people do bring up the notion that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he extracted the material, especially the scientific facts, which are mentioned in the Quran, right?
Yeah.
The Quran has 6,000 plus verses in there, and no less than 500 of them that deal with modern scientific facts, which has been confirmed by our scientists to be as true.
Yeah, amazing.
Right. Now, there are some scientific truths in the Greek, Roman, Persian, Chinese, Indian, Egyptian writings.
Uh-huh.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a fact, that they do contain some scientific truths. Besides the scientific truths, they also contain incorrect scientific statements. So now, okay, before I make that statement, suppose if I'm not a good student, right? And if I have to take a final exam, and if I'm sitting next to a person who is a B average student, if I'm going to plagiarize all of his answers, right? At the end of the time, at the end of the exam, am I going to get an A grade? Suppose if this guy is getting a B grade, would I get an A grade if I copied 100% from that person?
No, not at all.
Not at all, right? Because along with the right answers that he's writing, I'm also going to incorporate the incorrect answers, correct? In the same way, even if for the sake of argument, that if Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had a laptop computer with all the knowledge of the ancient world and that he knew how to read and write, okay, for the sake of argument, even then, if he had to extract the material, how did he only extracted the truths from those scriptures and left the falsehoods, right? Unless he was a prophet of Allah.
Yeah.
Unless he was a prophet, right? Because in those ancient scriptures, right, they say that the Quran, not the Quran, the world, some of them used to say that the world was flat. Some said that the world was flat, floating on the ocean.
Yeah.
Some say that the world was, round and spherical. So out of many, many different notions that they had, truths and falsehood, how come the Quran says in chapter number 71, verse number 3, that the world is spherical, like an egg shape, not the shape of a hen egg, but the shape of an ostrich egg. And that's how the shape of the world is.
Do we have any reports that, because obviously if you're sitting with people and say you take their work, now that these people start to see that you are... people are starting to admire your teachings and you're getting some publicity and you're getting some attention, they're going to come out and say, hey, hold on, I taught you that. Do we have people raising their hands and saying like, no, he got it from me. Do we have any accounts of this?
In the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, there was not a single person, unbeliever, who raised his hand and said, you know what you're saying in the Quran, I already knew it.
I taught you that,
or I knew it. You know, it's found in this scripture. No one raised their hand and accused the Prophet. If they would have done it, Islam would have been dismantled.
So these are really just silly arguments, but obviously, you know, they're worth touching upon because for the sincere person, he kind of sees through this, and this just confirms with him to continue looking into this, because indeed, I mean, it's overwhelming the amount of evidence that proves that this is indeed from the Creator.